It's good, it's good.
Okay. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that I have to stand here and talk about you today, and I ask that you will just fill my mind and my mouth with words from you. And always, as always, Lord, I pray that you would help people to hear the truth, and any of the rubbish that I come up with, they will just forget, Lord. So we give this time to you and ask that you will open our minds and our hearts and our eyes to the truth this morning. Amen. Can someone explain that to me? Because that was a weird year. It was a pretty horrendous year for most of us, in fact. Whether you experienced tragedy on a personal level, or you were just aware of all of the stories on the news about terrorism and just the atrocities, the things that have happened this year that have brought such just bad news, I suppose. Cast a pallor over 2016. I think as a nation, there was one news story that kind of took over from all of the others. Whether you agreed with it or not, I think it was something that fundamentally shook Britain to the core in 2016. The new Toblerone. I have one, actually. I got one for Christmas that I'm going to be using as a DVD rack, because the spaces between the chocolate is so huge now that you can actually do that. So 2016 was difficult for a lot of us for many reasons. But what 2016 couldn't do, whilst it stole your hope, whilst it might have stolen your trust, your joy in some ways, what 2016 couldn't take from us was our Attenborough. Yes. You made it, David, you made it. So, in the light of 2016 and all of the difficult times that we might have been through, how do we approach 2017? I want to take a look at Philippians chapter 1 this morning, because I think that's a really good way for us to look at the upcoming year. So I'm just going to read it to you now. You can follow along with it on the screen. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favour of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Christ Jesus, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I'm in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. This was written by Paul as a letter to the church that he set up in Philippi. Now, when Paul wrote this, he was in a Roman prison. He was imprisoned because he had been preaching the gospel of Jesus. So he's in chains, and he's writing this letter, trying to inspire people in the churches in Philippi. Now, I look at this chapter and I see it as a good way for us to approach 2017 for a variety of reasons. I think that it shows how we should approach our relationships, how we should deal with ourselves changing in 2017. It shows that we have the favour of God. It talks about loving and being loved, growing in our understanding, growing the fruit of our salvation because of Jesus, and seeing God use the worst for our good. Every year, at the beginning of the year, I write a letter to God. And in that letter, I set out all of the things that I want to see happen in the upcoming year. I thank him for all the stuff that he's done in the previous year, and I just write my hopes and my dreams, my wildest dreams for what I want to see that year. And as Paul is writing this letter to Philippi, to the church there, he talks about how he feels about the people there, about the church that he set up. And I really like this chapter because I think, for me personally, it sets out all of the stuff that I want to be looking at in the upcoming year, all of the stuff that I write in my letter to God. I'm going to start by looking at the relationships that Paul talks about. So it says at the beginning, verse 3, so not at the beginning, verse 3, hopefully in 2017, I'll get better at maths. Let's see. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. I envy Paul. Well, not hugely, because he was in prison. But I slightly envy Paul. Because he has this idea about people. That whenever he thinks of them, he thanks God for them. I can count on one hand the amount of people that I thank God for when I think of them. Elaine's one of them. It's four slots remaining. And yet Paul is thankful for these people. These people, not everyone that he knows probably. He won't have known every single person in the church in Philippi, and yet when he thinks about that church, the one that he set up, he has thanks in his heart. And that's one of the things I like to write about in my letters to God each year, is the people in my life. And I think back to the letter that I opened on the 31st of December 2016, that I wrote on the 1st of January, well, nearish, in January 2016. And that letter speaks about people who, at the time, I didn't even know about. And yet when I opened the letter a few weeks ago, I realised that the people that I had been writing about then had actually entered my life during 2016. I'd made friends that I hadn't known about, that I'd prayed for. I'd met people that I hadn't expected to meet. So who knows the relationships that God is going to bring into your life in 2017? Who knows the people that you're going to meet, the lives that you're going to influence, or the people that you already know that he's going to bring you closer to? But what I pray for all of us is that we will be thankful in our hearts for the people that he brings. Paul talks about the church in Philippi as being his partners. So who are your partners? Who are your partners in spreading the good news? Who are the people who stand beside you or you are standing beside in your relationship with God? Because, let's be honest, it can be tricky at times being a Christian. We're supposed to have all the answers. We're supposed to know where we're going and what's going on. But most of the time we don't. And we need the support of other people. And I believe that God puts us in these relationships for a reason. To support each other, to build each other up. So part of 2017 for you might be looking at the relationships in your life. Are there people who you could be standing alongside more? Who you could be supporting more? Are there people in your life that you feel God is drawing you to? That person that you might be able to just come alongside and support. Perhaps there are people in your life who are taking your time and your attention. Perhaps there are relationships that aren't good for you, that you might need to be talking to God about in 2017. What I really like about this verse is that it talks about partnership. I sometimes get the attack of guilt that makes me think I'm not doing much in terms of spreading the good news. I've not been abroad on a mission trip. I have not built a house in Africa. There's very little that I'm doing that would say that I'm spreading the good news. But actually, every time I pray for someone who is out there doing something, every time I have just a conversation with someone that talks about God and how much he loves us, that is spreading the good news, and that is coming alongside someone who is spreading the good news. So maybe God is putting someone on your heart at the moment who you could be praying for in 2017. Perhaps he's encouraging you to financially support someone. And when you think about people, do you think of them with joy? I've been really, really challenged recently over a particular person who is in my life who, every time I think of her, I want to punch her in the face. The only joy that comes from me thinking about her is imagining my fist connecting with face. 2017, I want that to change. I want to think about that person with joy in my heart. But I don't think I can do that on my own. I think that's going to require God to change my heart. And that is what I'm asking for in this situation, that he will take this person who I find incredibly irritating and will change me so that I don't find her as irritating, that I don't have that anger, jealousy in my heart, but actually I can look at her and I can love her. And I wonder if 2017 there are people in your life that you maybe want to punch, but perhaps God is calling you to let go of that anger, to let go of that unforgiveness. Relationships are hard. Forgiveness is hard. But for me, forgiveness is about being able to look at someone and want the best for them, to think of them and have joy in your heart, no matter what it is that they've done. And I think for a lot of us, those really difficult relationships, the ones where someone has continually hurt us or done something to break trust or something that we consider to be completely unforgivable, I think it takes God to help us to forgive. I think it's not possible for us to do that on our own, but with God, all things are possible. So maybe 2017 is about your journey with that person and about how God is going to change your heart for them if you let him. Verse 6 talks about change. It says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." It's the beginning of the year. It's inevitable. You get back to the office. It's your first day back. You're tired. It's kind of angry that you're there. And someone will come up to you, bounce up to you all chipper and say, "Did you have a good Christmas? Glad to be back at work. Have you got any New Year's resolutions?" And my answer is this: "Great Christmas. No, I'm not glad to be back at work. And yes, my resolution is to spend more time away from you." Because let's be honest, it's probably the only resolution I'm going to be able to keep. We try to make promises to ourselves. We begin the year with the best of intentions, but somewhere along the line, we fail. Those things that we really wanted to do, that willpower that we thought we had, fails us. We wake up realizing that we've not been going to the gym as much as we planned, or We'd not been able to avoid the chocolate like we'd intended. We wake up and realise on the 2nd of January that that resolution that we'd intended to keep, we've already broken. But what I really like about this verse is that it's a promise from God. It's a promise that although we often fail in our resolutions to change, he will not fail. He will continue his work until it's done on the day that Jesus returns. But I think part of changing is acknowledging the change. So in 2017, rather than beating yourself up about the fact that you've not achieved all that you'd planned on achieving, perhaps you should be looking at what you have achieved, what God has done in you. I'm always one for marking milestones in my change, I suppose, in my behaviour. One of them happened just this Friday. I had planned to pick Chris up from the train station at 10:30 at night, which is crazy late for me. I like to be in bed at 10. Now, 9 o'clock, I think it was, I got a message through saying, train's been delayed, probably going to be about 5 minutes late. And I thought, oh, 10:35, I can do that. It's a bit annoying, but I can do that. He's been travelling for 3 hours. I'm in my nice warm house. He's probably got the worst end of the deal here. I feel sorry for him. God, please get him here on time. He must be tired. I pray that you just give him peace, because I'm such a nice person. 11 o'clock rolls around. No train, still. Message saying, we might be diverting to Ashford. Can you come and pick me up from there? Ashford's half an hour away. It's 11 o'clock at night. But it's okay, he's probably really tired. I'll go and pick him up from the station. 11:05, train's been diverted again. We're probably going to go to Paddock Wood. That's 40 minutes away. Even if I leave now, it's going to be 20 to 12 by the time I get to the train station. And then another 40 minutes to get home again. But he's probably really tired. It's been a long day. Suffice to say, when 12:30 rolled around, it's no longer Friday, Saturday morning. Train still hasn't rolled up. After a long, long, long night and slightly long morning, I finally go and pick him up from Bearstead. My attitude is not quite what I'd hoped it would be. I'm not quite as delighted to see him as I thought I would be. Probably wasn't quite as welcoming as I would have been. But actually what I did realise was that I behaved considerably better than I would have done a year ago. A year ago, I probably would have told him to get a taxi. I probably would have told him to stuff it. I probably would have been angry because my plans had been disrupted. But actually what I noticed was that God has done things in me this year that have led me to the point of being able to deal with changes, last minute changes, that he's been giving me more patience. He's been giving me the ability to understand others better, so that what would have really set me off a year ago didn't have that much of an impact on me, other than a lot of tiredness. But life's all about change. My letter to God every year has a common theme. I'm always praying for change, but good change. I don't think I've ever written a letter, and I've been doing this for a few years now, that said, dear God, just leave things as they are. Leave it alone. Because I always want more. Wherever I am, I want more. A better house, a better job, better friends. But more importantly, a better me. And that's always been the theme of my letters. I want to change. I want to be a better person. I want to be more considerate, more kind, more empathetic, more patient, more loving. And although I might have these ambitions at the beginning of the year, things that I want to see change in my life, whether it's material things like a job or a house, or whether it is my own behaviour, I can't do it myself. I've learned that I have to rely on God to do it. He's the one that's got to bring about the opportunities. He's the one that's got to change my character. But what I love about this verse is he will do that. He will continue that change until the day when Jesus returns. Verse 7 talks about having the favour of God. It says, "So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favour of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news." Favour means demonstrated pleasure in. It means special regard, exceptional kindness. And my prayer for 2017 is that we will all know that we have this special favour, that we will all realise how much God favours us. I've seen it this week in my own life. Exceptional favour, I would say, that a situation at work that I encountered in December, I asked for a change to happen and I was told it couldn't. And that had quite a big negative effect on my work life. But this week, Friday morning, I happened to be talking to God about it. And I thought, I need something to happen here. I need some change. I need you to do something, God, because I need it. And about 2 hours later, someone senior in the company came up and spoke to me about this particular issue and sorted it then and there. And that, to me, was an example of God's favour, because this person doesn't really have that much to do with me, has no need to be speaking to me or concerned about me in any way, really, yet, for some reason, he chose to help me out in a situation that I couldn't do anything about. 2 hours after I'd asked God to do something about it. So for me, that's an example of favour. But knowing that we have special favour changes how we treat ourselves, but also how we treat other people. If you think of Paul being God's favourite, it will change how you treat him. Belinda is God's favourite. It's going to change how you speak to her. I am God's favourite. It changes how I think about myself, how I treat myself. Knowing that you have the favour of God in your life makes you braver, makes you more confident, means that you are more willing to try things, to step out, because you know that you have got a loving Father who is backing you up, who will always be there to catch you when you fall. Changes your perspective on the future, knowing that you have favour with God. Knowing your worth to God changes how you hope, how you look at the future and the possibilities that you might encounter. We are used to scraping by, and for a lot of us, 2016 was just us scraping by. But what if 2017 is the year that God wants to show you his favour, that he wants to do exceptional things in your life, that he wants to shower you with kindness? Maybe that's what you should be looking forward to in 2017. Verse 8 talks about loving and being loved. It says, "God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love will overflow more and more." Paul talks about loving with the tender compassion of Christ. Oh, how I wish I could love people with the tender compassion of Christ. But we can, because God can do that through us. Those people that we just want to punch in the face, he can change our hearts towards them. He can show us things about them that we perhaps don't know. He can help us to love them more. It says, I think in John, 1 John, that we love because God first loved us. It's the idea that he fills us with love so that we can love other people. I often struggle to even like people, as you may have gathered. But with Jesus loving through me, those people that I do struggle with, he can change my heart towards them. Verse 9, the second half of verse 9 and verse 10, talks about growing in knowledge and understanding. And that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding, for I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. In my letter in 2016, I wrote that I wanted to understand God's love more, because I had the knowledge of God's love. I know that God loves me, but I didn't quite understand what that meant in my life. And throughout 2016, God was wonderful enough to show me more of his love, what it is to be a loved daughter. And for us to love other people, we have to know that we are loved. That love has to go in for it to come out. And I think there is a difference between knowing and understanding. Just like for me, there is a difference between knowing God's love and understanding it on a personal level. I think that's the same for all scripture, all knowledge of God. We can know it. You can have a really, really good understanding of the Bible and not be a Christian, for instance. You can really understand scripture but not love God. Because there's a difference between knowing and understanding. I think knowing is a head thing, but understanding is a heart thing. So my prayer for myself and for you for 2017 is that we would know and understand more. That we would know scripture, but we'd actually understand what it means for us personally. Whether it is his love, or maybe it's hope, or maybe it's something about faith. That you will just know more, but understand more about him. Verse 11 talks about growing fruit. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. Just like 2016 saw me becoming a bit more patient, I'm praying that 2017 will help me grow in all of the fruit of having the Holy Spirit in my life. Galatians 5 verse 22 talks about this fruit and says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. I want to change, I want to grow, I want to be more loving, more joyful, more self-controlled, definitely around chocolate. I want to grow in this fruit. And that fruit comes from having Holy Spirit in your life. It's not something that we can strive towards and work at and gain that way. It has to be a spiritual change in us. And Paul particularly talks about joy in the book of Philippians. He's famed for being joyful in all situations. He was strung up in prison. He was in horrible conditions, and yet he still had joy. And so that is one of the ways that I pray that we will change, that we will be more like Christ in 2017, is that we will increase in joy. So no matter what the situation, no matter how hard it is, we will still have that deep, abiding sense of peace and well-being that is joy. It's produced by Jesus. It's not from us. It's not something that we can just try harder at. Joy comes from having a close and personal relationship with God. Romans 12, 2, I'm reading out the message, talks about fixing our eyes on God. It says, embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. That's how we change. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's how we become more like him. keeping him in our sight. And that brings glory to God. Just like when a kid gets a really good report from school, does the parents proud? Us becoming more like Jesus just delights God. That brings him glory. When people see us changing, we might not be perfect yet. I'm close. I'm not quite there. But the change brings glory to God. And finally, and most importantly, I think 2017 will be a year that we see good coming out of the bad. 2016 was a shocking year, horrible for some people, but good still came out of it. And as Paul says in verses 12 onwards, I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. He was in a horrible condition. He was going through the worst, and yet God brought some amazing things out of it. During this time of persecution, the Christian church just grew, expanded exponentially. And it's because of the stuff that happened in those days that we're here today. God brought out some amazing good from those horrible, horrible things. And just like good will have come out of 2016, I am praying that we will see the good that comes out of the difficult situations in 2017. So I want to challenge you all today. Perhaps you don't want to write a letter. I forced Life Group to do it, so they're all right. But perhaps you don't want to write a letter, perhaps you do. But maybe you just want to have a think about some of those things that you want to see happen in 2017. Maybe it's just 3 bullet points. Maybe it's just a short list. But perhaps just spend some time talking to God about 2017, what it holds for you, what he wants to do in you and through you this year. I'm just going to close the prayer. Father, I thank you that you've got a lot in store for us this year. And I thank you that at the end of 2017, we're going to be able to look back and just thank you for all of the amazing things. Thank you for getting us through the hard times, and thank you for bringing good out of it. And I ask that this morning, you just lay some things on our heart that you want us to really consider for this upcoming year. Maybe it's people that we need to forgive. Maybe it's hope that needs to be restored. Or maybe it's just walking closer with you in our relationship. I ask, Lord, that you will just speak to each one of us this morning about this upcoming year. I thank you that you are good and that you do not leave us alone and that you're continually changing us to be more like Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.